Bless me. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 230, stanzas 1, 2, 5, and 7. Lord, thou hast greatly blessed our land. Thou hast brought back our captive band. Thy pardoning grace has made us free and covered our iniquity. 1, 2, 5, and 7 of Psalter 230.
scripture reading for this afternoon hour can again be found in the book of Judges, and there of Judges 6, beginning with verse 11 to and including 24. Judges 6, beginning at verse 11. And there came an angel of the Lord and sat under an oak which was in Ophrah, that pertained unto Joash the Abiezrite, and his son Gibeon threshed the wheat by the winepress to hide it from the Midianites. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, The Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. And Gideon said unto him, O my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then is all this befallen us? And where be all his miracles which our fathers told us of, saying, Did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord hath forsaken us and delivered us into the hand of the Midianites. And the Lord looked upon him and said, Go in this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have not I sent thee? And he said unto him, O my Lord, wherewith shall I save Israel? Behold, my family is poor in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house. And the Lord said unto him, Surely I will be with thee, and thou shalt smite the Midianites as one man. And he said unto him, If now I have found grace in thy sight, then show me a sign that thou talkest with me. Depart not hence, I pray thee, until I come unto thee, and bring forth my present, and set it before thee. And he said, I will tarry until thou come again. And Gideon went in and made ready a kid and unleavened cakes of an ephah of flour. The flesh he put in a basket, and he put the broth in a pot and brought it unto him under the oak and presented it. And the angel of God said unto him, Take the flesh and the unleavened cakes and lay them upon this rock and pour out the broth. And he did so. Then the angel of the Lord put forth the end of the staff that was in his hand, and touched the flesh with the unleavened cakes. And there rose up fire out of the rock, and consumed the flesh and the unleavened cakes. Then the angel of the Lord departed out of his sight. And when Gideon perceived that he was an angel of the Lord, Gideon said, Alas, O Lord God, for because I have seen an angel of the Lord face to face. And the Lord said unto him, Peace be unto thee, fear not, thou shalt not die. Then Gideon built an altar there unto the Lord and called it Jehovah Shalom. Unto this day it is yet in Ophrah of the Abiezrites. Thus far, scripture reading.
Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. Almighty, all-sufficient, all-providing Lord of heaven and of earth, it behooves us on this day that is set aside for a day of thanksgiving among men, to acknowledge thee. But Lord, thou knowest all the ability that we have lost in our father Adam. Then we feel in these moments how that with all that is due unto thee, that we have no ability to return to thee, that right and that proper acknowledgement for all thy great and manifold gifts, and that thou bestowest upon us despite our own sin. then how can we, who are so dead in ourselves, dead in sins and in trespasses by nature, give unto thee that which thou art so worthy of? For thou hast made us able, and thou hast made us spiritual creatures, and we have rejected thee, and with all the gifts and blessings that we have received from thee in paradise. And when we had received all the blessings, all the benefits in the midst of this world, and all that was necessary for our soul, life not only in this world, but life in our souls, and that went out after thee in uprightness and in truth. And now there is nothing left but worldliness and carnality and all that cleaves to the earth. And then in this day called to acknowledge thee, O Lord, then we may acknowledge thee, that thou hast not cut us off and cast us from thy holy presence and done with us as we so justly deserve. And we can only ask of thee in these moments that thou wouldst give to us an acknowledging heart, eyes to behold the greatness and the manifoldness of all thy blessings and all that thou givest to us in the midst of this world. Oh, that we may receive a broken heart and a contrite spirit, that thy goodness may lead us to a true repentance. Wilt thou humble us also under thy gifts, that we may be brought into the dust of self-abasement before thee, abhorring ourselves because of our sin, and that we may be brought to cry to thee in all our wretchedness, in all our misery, in all of our need. And if thou hast taught a people among us to pray, oh, that thou may give in their heart that liveliness of spirit, that may acknowledge thee in truth for blessings natural, for blessings spiritual. And thou hast blessed us and our children above so many in this world who are without thy word and who are without thy truth. Lord, humble our hearts under thy goodness, because what maketh us to differ from another, that we are not left to go on without warning. Oh, that thou may also sanctify and bless the warnings, but also the blessed invitations that are coming unto us, that we might depart from all our sinful ways and return unto that good God who does bestow upon us nothing but his blessings, and that despite all our unworthiness, do show unto us what thou hast given in thy dear Son, that great gift above all gifts in this world, that he has come to give his own life, and that for those who deserve death, who have rebelled against him, who have rebelled against his Spirit, who have rebelled against his Father, and then in such a great love wherewith he has loved them, coming to give his life even unto death, O Lord, that we might learn in our life to acknowledge that gift. Thy servant did say, I will sing of mercy and of judgment unto thee, O Lord, will I sing. Oh, then we must know what our misery is if we will sing of thy mercy. And then we must understand, O Lord, that we are not able to deliver ourselves. And then to see what thou hast done, then we will sing also of mercy. And then we will sing also of judgment. For we do not sing of judgment. Then we are afraid of judgment, and we fear thy judgment until we may see what thou hast done in thy judgment to thy dear Son. O Lord, then we may sing of it, the great wonder of thy judgment, and that thou hast forgiven the iniquity of thy people, and thou hast taken it all away. O Lord, open our eyes to see these things, to behold thy mercies, to behold thy benefits, and that it all may bring us to thy blessed footstool. Remember this land wherein we dwell, wherein men do also in an outward way, even with the mouth, reject thee. Thou who dost provide for us also as a nation, as a province, O thou who art so good unto us, who hast yet withdrawn thy judgments, which thou hast brought upon us over these several years that have gone by. O, what may we then see of thy judgments? Do we then acknowledge thee for the lifting of thy hand? O, could it please thee yet to lift it further, that there may be the ability to go freely back and forth between our nations, and that thou may give the ability to meet also in the future together as a synod in the United States of America, and that thou may remember the president there and all that are with him, and our own prime minister, and all those that rule and reign over us in these lands that do take so for granted thy many blessings. And then wilt thou give us instruction in the things that we have experienced in the years that have gone by, and that we may not take thy blessings so for granted anymore, and when we may see how in one moment thou art able to bring such a great disease over this world, and how in one moment thou art able to stop all the businesses, and thou art able to stop all the traveling, and thou art able to take away all our freedoms. Oh, that we might acknowledge thy hand in all these things, what thou givest unto us, but also what thou takest away, and that we may acknowledge thee in it, and that we may ask of thee for it, and what we cannot give unto ourselves. Remember yet the nations which are at war. O Lord, thou knowest the threatenings that are coming in these last days, even of using weapons of great and extreme power, nuclear weapons. O Lord, could it please thee to remember us in thy mercy as a world, the earth that thou hast created, and the people that thou hast created upon it, and the destruction that we bring upon ourselves. Oh, could it please thee to prevent such awful things from taking place in this world, and though it is our own judgment, that thou wouldst yet remember mercy amidst well-deserved wrath, care for all those that mourn, the sick and the widows, the widowers, all the orphans, the handicapped ones in mind and body, those that suffer from addictions. Lord, thou knowest each and every one. Wilt thou care for us in this afternoon? We are gathered for a few moments once more round about thy holy word, that we stand in need of that same thing again, the ability of body, of mind, and thy Holy Spirit to bring forth things new and old out of thy law, all that we may be given thy Spirit in a rich measure, and that we may receive words that are clear and matters that are essential for the need of all of our souls, and that thy children may be able to eat and to drink a little, that new ones may be made jealous of the portion of thy own people. And we ask it in the forgiveness of all our sins, and for Jesus' sake, amen. Let us now sing from Psalter number 51, all the stanzas. Amid the thronging worshipers, Jehovah will I bless. Before my brethren gathered there, his name will I confess. 1, 2, and 3 of Psalter number 51, and while your thanksgiving offerings are received. congregation, the words of our text for this afternoon hour can be found in the portion read to you, Judges chapter 6, and thereof the first part of the 24th verse, Judges 6, verse 24a. Then Gideon built an altar there unto the Lord, and called it Jehovah Shalom. So far, the words of our text, Gideon's memorial, first of Jehovah, and second of Jehovah's peace. Gideon's memorial, first of Jehovah, Jehovah Shalom. Second of Jehovah's peace, Jehovah Shalom. What is that? Jehovah Shalom. It is the name of a memorial that Gideon here has set up. What is the purpose, congregation, of a memorial? That has often two purposes. One is to acknowledge something. And in the second place, it is to remember something. And Gideon has a desire to make both of those things perpetual. That is, that they may always be acknowledged. That they may always be remembered. That is the reason that we set up some kind of a memorial, something that may remind us time and time again to acknowledge, to remember. Memorials are set up concerning things that we consider to be very, very important, that we consider worthy to be passing on to our future generations, that when they may see our memorial, that they may also acknowledge and that they may also remember. What is it that Gideon wishes here to memorialize? That is God. Says Jehovah. What do you think? Is God worthy of being acknowledged? Is God worthy of being remembered? And is that worthy to be passed on to our seed, to the coming generations, that he may always be acknowledged? That he may always be remembered. It is so easy to forget God, isn't it, young people? So easy to live in this world and to forget God. How can that be? Because the apostle says, in him we live and move and have our being. That is, he upholds us in our being every day. We live by him. We move by him. He gives us food and drink every day. And yet, we forget him. Oh, then you may understand a little bit how deep that our depravity lies. That it is not just a superficial depravity, but it is a depravity that is within our whole being, our whole soul. We think of the mind, we think of the will, we think of the affections. All three aspects of our soul, what is there in our soul that goes out after that true, that living God, our Maker, our Creator? So little thought of the very hand that upholds us, of the very hand that is feeding us. Did it ever become our sin? that we have such a thankless heart. Gideon knows that it is easy to forget God. And therefore, he does something. He sets up a memorial. He does something to remind him and his posterity of God. He uses a means to help his infirmity and the infirmity of his children and of his people. That is why a Thanksgiving Day is also a very good thing. Not that that shouldn't take place every day of our life, but now every year again, a means to help us in the depravity of our hearts. Jehovah Shalom. That is what he names this memorial. And that tells us what he wishes to memorialize. That is Jehovah. Who is that? That is God, yes. But that name Jehovah, that is more than the name of God. Because we can read how that the Lord appeared unto Moses, and the Lord said to Moses, I have appeared and I have made known myself to Abraham and to Isaac and to Jacob by the name of God Almighty. He says, but by the name of Jehovah was I not known unto them. How is that then? Did Abraham and Isaac and Jacob not know? Have they never heard of that name Jehovah? Oh, indeed they did. But the Lord says that he was not known to them by that name. That is, that they did not experience in their life the meaning of that name, not as if they have never experienced anything of that, but the Lord came to them in the way of the promise. And that promise had not yet been fulfilled. So, how is this now? What was that the Lord would now do for the children of Israel? So the Lord appeared to Moses. When was that? Well, we can read that Moses has gone back. He has gone back unto the Lord. And Moses has asked the Lord why that he has so evil entreated the children of Israel. And he even said to the Lord, why is it that thou hast sent me? Why? Because the Lord has promised the deliverance of his people. The children of Israel, the elders of Israel, he has shown those miracles. He has thrown that rod on the ground, and that has become a serpent. So they have seen, and then we can read how those elders of Israel have bowed their heads and worshipped. Then they have received that message that the Lord was going to deliver his people. They may acknowledge the Lord for this, but since that time, that people have seen nothing of it. Moses has gone into Pharaoh, let my people go, that they may go into the wilderness and serve me. Oh, do they have time to do that then? Then they have too much time on their hands. Well, then they get no more straw, so things have not become better, but things have only become worse. They receive no more straw. until that time that even the elders of Israel, Israel themselves, in the extremity of their suffering, they are coming to Moses. Why hast thou even come to us? And then it is not only Pharaoh and all of his men, but it is the children of Israel themselves. And Moses, he goes back unto the Lord. He says, why? Why hast thou so evil entreated this people? And why hast thou even sent me? Oh, that is why we need to know if we are sent. And now the Lord speaks. And he says to Moses, Moses, I have appeared unto Abraham and to Isaac and to Jacob by the name God Almighty, El Shaddai. But by my name Jehovah was I not known unto them. But now, Moses, now I am going to reveal the matter of that name Jehovah. Now my people are going to see who that I am. Jehovah. Now they are going to experience that I am faithful to that covenant word that I have spoken unto my people. Jehovah, that is more than God. God is our creator. Or he is faithful as our creator. When he has promised that he will keep this whole world, seed, time, and harvest that shall not cease to the end of this world. Oh, the faithfulness of the Lord. When men does fly in his face with his iniquity. Oh, that is God. God Almighty. But now the Lord, he is also a covenant God. And that covenant does not pertain to this whole world. No, it is something that pertains unto his people. And that is now what Gideon wishes here to memorialize. He wishes that his seed, that his posterity, that the children of Israel may acknowledge Jehovah, that covenant God, that they would never forget him, or they would remember him always, the covenant faithfulness of Jehovah. And why? Why does that live in Gideon's heart that he wants to set up a memorial? Well, because Gideon has now just experienced this. He has experienced this truth for his own soul. Oh, the matter of what that name Jehovah means. And then you may ask the Lord's people if they may now experience something of who that the Lord is, whether or not that desire that is burning in their heart, that they may now make it so perpetual among the people of the Lord. Then they want to show it to their children. Then they want to show it to their grandchildren and their great-grandchildren. Oh, that they may acknowledge that same God of his people and that they may never forget him. We have heard how the Lord came to Gideon, how the Lord has commissioned Gideon to deliver Israel from the hand of the Midianites. And Gideon does not know how that can be, but the Lord says, I will be with thee, surely. And then what do we read? And he said unto him, if now I have found grace in thy sight, then show me a sign that thou talkest with me. You remember, boys and girls, Zacharias, he also asked for a sign, didn't he? And the Lord was displeased when he asked for a sign, wasn't he? And then the Lord says, I will give you a sign. You shall be dumb and not able to speak until these things that I have spoken to you of, that they shall come to pass. And so he received his sign. Why was it that the Lord was displeased with Gideon? Well, because when the Lord appeared to Gideon, when the Lord sent an angel to Gideon, then Gideon was well aware that this was a heavenly being. Gideon was immediately fearful of that heavenly being. But that is not so here with Gideon. Gideon does not know yet who that this man is. We have heard he begins to feel something of that heavenly origin, but he still is not sure. And it is a great thing that he has been commissioned to do. That is to deliver the people of Israel from the hand of their enemies. Oh, that is not something that he can just presume upon. To do that all by himself, that would be foolishness. And so with the magnitude of that task that is weighing upon him, oh, Gideon, he hesitates. Oh, he is not sure. He says, is that really now something from the Lord? Do you know what that is to ask? Is that now something from the Lord? You say, is it now the Lord who has spoken to me? Or is that now something that has just come from myself? Is it something that, well, was just in my own mind and I read it in the Bible? Or is that now actually the word of the Lord? Oh, that is a very common question of God's own children. And it is no more appropriate that we and our children would ask the Lord for a sign as Gideon did. No, because we are in a different dispensation, not of the Old Testament, but in the New Testament. Then the Lord has spoken through his word, and he continues to speak through his word. No, not a sign. And yet, it is not wrong of Gideon to ask for a confirmation. Oh, that is not, in this case, to doubt the Lord, but he is doubting himself. He says, is it actually the Lord that speaks, or is it not the Lord? That is what he wishes to know, and that is very important to him. Is that important to us too? Because the matter for which we would desire such a thing, what has that to do with? It may have to do when the Lord is calling a man into his service, yes. But that question is also so often asked concerning the need of our own soul. Is that a light matter? That we can just go on a presumption, we hope, that you cannot go on a presumption, congregation. That we will need to know from the mouth of the Lord. That we will need to be convinced that it is indeed the word of the Lord that is coming unto us. That it is not for another man, no, but that it is for ourselves. That it does not come from ourselves or from another man, but that it comes directly from the Lord. Show me a sign that thou talkest with me. Depart not hence, I pray thee until I come unto thee and bring forth my present and set it before thee. And he said, I will tarry until thou come again. So Gideon desires to bring a present unto the Lord. Did you do that too today? Where does that desire come from? To bring a present unto the Lord. We do that especially, well, you say it is Thanksgiving Day. We always do that. On Thanksgiving Day, we bring our special gift. Ah, congregation, that is good. But it was not Thanksgiving Day for Gideon. No, that was not just a form. That was not just a custom. But it was something that was proceeding out of his heart. Then Gideon felt something of whom he was dealing with here. This had to do with the Lord. This had to do with the Lord's service. And this was one of the servants of the Lord. And he wishes to bring his present unto the Lord. Did that now ever come out of the bottom of your heart? Oh, that desire to bring a gift unto the Lord, the desire to return all the blessings and all the benefits bestowed upon you. Oh, that you say, could I only give it all back, that my whole life, that my whole heart, that could be only for the Lord. Oh, so it comes here out of the heart of Gideon. Gideon makes ready this kid, these unleavened cakes. He puts flesh, we read, in that basket, and broth in the pot, and he brings it out to him under that oak and presents it unto him. And then what do we read? And the angel of God said unto him, take the flesh and the unleavened cakes and lay them upon this rock and pour out the broth. Boys and girls, you say, that is strange. That is strange because he has just made a meal. And what is that meal for? That is that they may eat. And he would like then, in the way of hospitality, to eat with this stranger to show him respect. And that is a man of God. But what does that angel do? He takes that present and he turns that meal, that present, into a sacrifice. What do we read? Then the angel put forth the end of the staff that was in his hand and touched the flesh and the unleavened cakes. And there rose up fire out of the rock and consumed the flesh and the unleavened cakes. Then the angel of the Lord departed out of his sight. Oh, that all happens so very quickly. Just a moment. He has brought that meal and he brings it out and he places it on that rock. And then in just a moment, then it is all done. And then that angel, he is suddenly gone. And there stands Gideon. Oh, he stands there in awe. And now suddenly he perceives that this was an angel of the Lord. Oh, suddenly Gideon realizes that he had just been standing in the presence of the Almighty God, that holy and that heavenly being. Oh, there is so much that the church sometimes comes to understand by way of reflection, that they did not realize in the very moment that it has taken place. But then they see it. The Lord opens their eyes after it has taken place, and that it is possible that they are sometimes simply overwhelmed. Oh, has the Lord, the God of heaven and earth, had dealings with my own soul? Oh, then they are given by the Lord for a moment to stand in awe that that great and that heavenly being, that he has looked upon me, that he knows where that I am, and that he has had dealings with me. Oh, may you reflect a little bit today on the day of Thanksgiving. You sit a little quiet today in a place where you may be by yourself just for a moment, and then to go over all the things that the Lord has given unto you in this life, and then to think, oh, that the Lord, that he looks upon us, that he spares us, that he gives us life, health, strength, and blessings. Or do we then stand in awe a little bit concerning the goodness of the Lord and the fact that the Lord still will have dealings with us in a natural way? How much more? Or if the Lord is pleased to have a dealing with our poor soul, oh, how much more when the Lord will speak unto our soul, when we may look back upon it, that high, that holy God. And when Gideon perceived that he was an angel of the Lord, Gideon said, "Alas, O Lord God, for because I have seen angel of the Lord face to face." And what is Gideon afraid of? Death. He is afraid to die so very, very suddenly. Congregation, how light we make of sin. There is so much that we do not even think of as we go on over this world. But now read in the Bible, several times over again, of those persons who stood in the presence even of a created angel of the Lord, in the presence of the holiness of God. Oh, how was that then for them? For them, Gideon feels that he cannot stand before God. Gideon is terrified. "Alas, O Lord God." What did the Lord say to Moses? "There shall no man see my face and live." And the Lord has called Gideon. Has called him to go forward in his own service. But now the Lord has a personal dealing with Gideon, a dealing with his own soul that is necessary, that the Lord is having dealings with the souls of his servants in a personal way, that he may make them fit instruments, that they may go forth to serve his people. Then they need to know what their own soul needs, that they might know also what the souls of other persons in this world do need. Or we can have a calling from the Lord to serve his church and not ourselves be able to stand before God. Not be able ourselves to die. Gideon is a God-fearing man, but Gideon feels something in that moment. Oh, there is no righteousness, There is no holiness in himself when he has to appear before God. Alas, O Lord God, how suddenly, how unexpectedly the Lord is sometimes bringing his people to stand before him in the judgment. Not at the end of their life, no, but within their life. The Lord is using means for that and making them come to stand before his judgment seat. Why? That they might know, that they might feel that they are condemned. Condemned in themselves. Oh, Gideon asks for a sign. The Lord, he is giving him a sign. Oh, he did not expect this. Let us be careful when we ask the Lord, alas, O Lord God. And the Lord said unto him, peace be unto thee. Fear not, thou shalt not die. The Lord spoke to him, some think audibly, but that does not matter. Peace be unto thee. Fear not, thou shalt not die. What is that? That is what a judge does. That is what a judge does when he is in the court. What does a judge do? He declares a sentence. He says, you shall die. He says, you shall not die. Thus, Gideon hears the sentence of his judge. And what does he hear? He hears his acquittal. His acquittal. The Lord says, thou shalt not die. Why was Gideon so afraid? Why are you afraid when you have to stand before a judge? Boys and girls, are you afraid to come by your father? Say, no, of course not. But when you have done something wrong, then you are afraid, right? Then maybe you have lied to your father or your mother. And your father says, come here. And then you are trembling. Oh, why was Gideon afraid when he has suddenly to appear before God? Did he steal something? Did he lie? No, you say, he did not do those things. Why then? Why so afraid? Alas, O Lord God. Why? Oh, it is because of the sinfulness of his existence. From the crown of his head to the sole of his foot. Oh, he feels that. He is nothing but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. Oh, it is that guilt of his being, his entire being. It is the corruption of his being. It is the sin of Adam. It is who he is. It is his very, very existence. That is why he was afraid. And now what did the Lord say? Peace be unto thee. Fear not. Thou shalt not die. Oh, it was for Gideon the forgiveness of the iniquity of his entire being. Oh, what a blessing that the Lord has. What a blessed dealing that the Lord has with his servant, who he is sending forth into his service, that he may deliver his own people. It is a personal dealing to make him a fit instrument for the deliverance of his church. And now Gideon, he sets up a memorial. He wants to acknowledge this, or he wants to remember it, and he wants to perpetuate it unto his children and unto his grandchildren and unto all the children of the people of the Lord. Let us sing. 175, 1, 2, and 3. Come, all ye people, bless our God, and tell his glorious praise abroad, who holds our soul in life, who never lets our feet be moved, and though our faith he oft has proved, upholds us in the strife. 1, 2, and 3 of 175.
Thank you.
Then Gideon built an altar unto the Lord and called it Jehovah Shalom. Gideon's memorial, first of Jehovah, second of Jehovah's peace. Jehovah Shalom. What is that? That is Jehovah peace. Shalom. That is peace. What had the Lord said to Gideon? Peace be unto thee. Fear not. Thou shalt not die. Oh, that is the peace that Gideon experienced in those moments. You imagine what that is to go to a court. Children, you have to go to court and you are guilty and a man is acquitted, all fearful to stand before that judge. And now that judge, instead of saying you have to go into the prison or even you have to die, the judge says you may go. You shall not die. Oh, what is then in your heart? What happens to all the fear that is in your heart? That goes away. One moment. When that judge has spoken, and Gideon experiences in his heart peace, he experiences it in his soul upon the sentence of his judge. Oh, that is so personal. Oh, the Lord has accepted his offering that was by fire. He had a testimony of it by fire that was so personal. Congregation, we may bring our offering, but when that offering is coming out of our heart, all then it may be felt also that the Lord accepts that offering. And when it is done in a way wherein the Lord gives the desires, then it is also the Lord who receives the glory, and his people, they receive a testimony in their heart. Oh, who then can sufficiently acknowledge the Lord? Not for the outward blessings only, but for the blessings of the soul. Gideon wants to set up a memorial. Oh, that his children, his posterity, Israel, may acknowledge it, may never forget it. But there is something here more than what is personal unto Gideon. And what is that? Oh, that is what Gideon has, what has been weighing on the heart of Gideon. That is, the Lord has returned unto his people. Oh, that is the faithfulness of the Lord to his own word, to his own promise. 7 years the Lord has afflicted his people because of their sin, until the people did say, the Lord has forsaken us. The Lord has delivered us into the hand of the Midianites. We are given over into the hand of our enemies. The wonders of the Lord that he has shown unto our fathers, those wonders have now ceased. And now what does Gideon want to say? He wants to say, it is not true. It is not true. The Lord has not forsaken his people. No, the Lord has returned to deliver them. In their misery, in their extremity, in their unworthiness. Oh, Gideon desires to acknowledge this himself. Oh, he says, I was so wrong. And now he wants to tell his error unto his children and say to them everything that I have said to you, that the Lord, he has departed from us. Oh, that is so wrong. He wants to memorialize his own error. He wants to set that memorial up. And he wants his children to know that it was an error. Oh, what do we read? We read, unto this day it is yet in Ophrah of the Abiezrites. That was until the day that the book of Judges was written. Is it still there now? I don't think so. But it doesn't need to be either. Why? Because it is written in the Word of God. Oh, that desire of Gideon to memorialize his own mistake that has indeed been memorialized even unto this very day. Jehovah Shalom, Jehovah peace. What do we read? Then Gideon built an altar unto the Lord and called it Jehovah Shalom. An altar. What is it? What is it? That is the form of that memorial. Boys and girls, what is an altar for? You know, we don't have them anymore. But in the Old Testament, altars were very, very important. They were for sacrificing. But not this altar. This altar was not for sacrificing. This altar was a memorial. It was set up in order to perpetuate the acknowledgement and the remembrance of the Lord. But why did Gideon build that memorial in the form of an altar? Why did he not make it in the form of a rock? After all, his present was put on a rock. No, he builds an altar. In general, the altars, they were for one of two purposes. One was appeasement, and the second is acknowledgement or thanksgiving. So there were sin offerings, there were burnt offerings, there were drink offerings, there were meat offerings, but in general, it is either for an appeasement or it is to acknowledge the Lord. Gideon could not appear before the Lord without a sacrifice. Oh, that is what Gideon experienced in those moments. When he is standing before that holiness of God, oh, then the necessity of that sacrifice that comes so into the foreground. When a person stands in that holiness, and then Gideon is given instruction how that peace that passes all understanding, that peace that he may experience, that is coming alone through sacrifice, or it is by faith that Abraham may look forward to the sacrifice of Christ. That memorial testified of this in the form of that memorial. Thus, that altar that was a preaching to backslidden Israel of the way of the Lord to that backslidden church that is Jehovah Shalom, that is in Jehovah, there is peace. Oh, it is by that sacrifice that Christ is going to destroy the enemy of God's people with one blow. it shall bruise thy head. That was what was promised in paradise. That is what the Lord said unto our first parents, said to the devil, it shall bruise thy head in the hearing of our first parents. It will be as a blow against one person. All that was in the death of the Lord Jesus Christ, that the power of Satan over that church of God that was completely destroyed, the head of the devil therein was bruised, and the promise of the Lord unto his church was fulfilled. O Gideon, may receive it by a true, by a saving faith. That memorial, the form of that memorial, testifying unto the people of the Lord. Jehovah Shalom. But that was also an offering. That was also an altar of thanksgiving. For what? The Lord has visited his people. The Lord has visited his people. And where is it now standing? All still in the promise. Has it happened yet? It hasn't happened yet. There is nothing yet to be seen of the deliverance of the children of Israel. But Gideon gives thanks unto God. Is that now not a man of faith? That man who had so low opinions of himself, that showed unto the Lord everyone else, O Lord, send him. O Lord, send him. Oh, the Lord knows whom that he sends. That is a man who gives thanks unto God in faith. Or you would say, Gideon, don't do that so publicly yet. Just keep it yet for yourself. Keep it until after that it actually happens, because you don't know, you could still be ashamed yet. No. No. We read, then Gideon built there an altar unto the Lord and called it Jehovah Shalom. Oh, he is ready to publish unto the whole world by faith. It is an altar of thanksgiving for the deliverance of the children of Israel before it happened. What is faith? Faith is the substance of things hoped for. It is the evidence of things not seen. Oh, Gideon is so sure that it will actually take place. Jehovah Shalom. Oh, his covenant that will forever stand. The Lord has not forsaken his people. The Lord has returned. Oh, that covenant of the Lord that is so forever sure, that is so forever firm, that it can never pass away. He is not merely rejoicing in the things of the past, but he is rejoicing in the things of the future. Oh, he is rejoicing in the hope, in the expectation of the church of God, which shall never be put to shame. Oh, there is not one of the enemies of the Lord that is able to stand before him. Jehovah Shalom. The Lord has vanquished all of his enemies. There is not one sin of his people that is able to stand in the way of the Lord. Oh, there is no sin, people of the Lord, that is able to disannul that covenant of the Lord. There is now the comfort for that church of God. Oh, that they may observe more that memorial of Gideon, Jehovah Shalom, in its blessed form, an altar unto the Lord. Oh, congregation, it is Thanksgiving Day. That is good. That is right. to publicly acknowledge before all men in this world. Are you ashamed of that, young people? Are you ashamed of that when this world, all you see it, well, there is no desire to acknowledge the Lord? Oh, are you ashamed? And you say, I go unto the house of the Lord. He has given me everything. He upholds me in my life. He gives to me food and drink. Oh, let the world mock. Oh, let the world laugh. But I will sing unto the Lord. But did now you ever build an altar with Gideon? Even in your heart, did you ever rejoice, congregation, over more than the fruits of the field? Oh, what a great blessing, the fruits of the field. We feel that we cannot live without them. But did your heart ever rejoice? Because there are greater things to be received. They're just as free. Just as free as our food and our drink. Is that free? You say we labored for it. Oh, yes, we labored for it hard. But have we not also felt when that rain was stayed, there was nothing we could do. Nothing. Oh, then we feel something of our helplessness, that the Lord has to bless and to send. We feel that it is such a free gift. That is the gifts for your soul too. They are just as free. Have you to labor for them? You do. You do. But the Lord, he says, those that seek me, they shall find me. That is now his promise. And those who may in their heart with all their might seek that face of the Lord, oh, they are going to receive his promise, because he is faithful to his own covenant. And that is now what that heavenly thanksgiving is all about. One eternal day that never stops, an eternal thanksgiving day. Oh, will we be there? Will we take part in that thanksgiving? You say, how do I know? Because it begins here. Because there will be little parts of that acknowledgement in your heart already here below. Jehovah Shalom. Jehovah Peace. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, we can but a little stammer of thy greatness and of thy goodness for things natural, for things spiritual. But give us to experience them in our heart. Give us to desire to know them when we are strangers of these things. Oh, that we may with a holy jealousy begin to seek that God who feeds us daily, and that thy goodness in the things of this life may draw our hearts to seek thee for the blessings of eternity. Bless thy word this day to that end. Grant us safety on the way home. And in the week that is to come, each one of us a place in this world upon our short journey between the cradle and the grave. Bless, O Lord, bless thy word in these days, and wilt thou help in all the labors of our hands, also in thy church, the confession class, the consistory meeting. Remember those who will be standing at that open grave, thy servant. Help him to bring a word also unto that family. Forgive, take away our many sins for Jesus' sake. Amen. 92, 1, 2, and 3. Be thou my helper in the strife. O Lord, my strong defender be, and thy mighty shield protect my life, thy spear confront the enemy. 1, 2, and 3 of Psalter 92.
Thank you.
receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Bless.